two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah.
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
All right, here we go, folks. Utah Jazz have traded Rudy Gobert. Craig Bowler Jack joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Bowler, we kind of had a feeling. But,
yeah.
My goodness, how crazy.
Yeah. Well, first, you got to thank Gobert, who did a yeoman's job for 9 years protecting the paint and doing his thing and developing, by the way, into one of the most dominating bigs to play the game, in my opinion. And I think, you know, when you talk about respect or the lack of, the four first-round picks that come with the haul from Minnesota is proof of his value. And I think that's something Jazz fans have got to realize, and I hope they do. You know, the Ayton possibility, as you guys reported, is jumping around. And, of course, you know, those are all per reports. I get it. That's what I have to lean on here. But the bottom line is to all this, per the reports, is a haul for the Utah Jazz, and I get it. You know, I don't think Danny Ainge is by anywhere close to being done. And if the reports are true that they're looking to do a sign and trade with Ayton, look, if you break down his game, and I think Hans said it well in the last segment, he still is untapped, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And he's a player that can face the basket. Is he a Al Horford type guy? I'm only comparing because of what Danny kind of constructed in Boston. But a more youthful big that has more offensive ability and also can protect the rim. You know, I think Danny Ainge is clear what he's trying to do here is get guys that can play two ways, and also what Will Hardy wants is defensive-minded players as well. So this is intriguing. Everyone yesterday was waiting for something to drop, and here it is just over the last, 15 minutes. And I would think that the players that came with Minnesota with this trade maybe are used with other pieces, right, that could still be moved. And it's going to be interesting to watch how this all comes together.
I know that Utah Jazz fans are going to be heartbroken. I think this is one of those trades and moves where you're losing a jersey that should eventually go up in the rafters.
Agreed.
You're losing a player that could be looked at as one of the top five to ever play in a Utah Jazz jersey, and he's moving on still somewhat in his prime to work in the front court with Karl Anthony Towns with a bit of a chip on his shoulder.
Right.
Bowler, kind of walk us through Rudy Gobert's path, what you believe he means to the fans, and where he stands in Utah Jazz Utah Jazz hierarchy.
Well, he's he hasn't quite crested into the Malone Stockton era or level, but right in that below point. look, three-time defensive player of the year. Always worked his tail off. That's the one thing I always applauded Gobert on the day where a lot of players ask for trades. They find themselves in trouble. Gobert was a guy, and you said it perfectly, he wore 27 for a reason, to always remind him of hands where other teams passed on him. They looked at him as one of those seven-foot freaks that was just kind of a sideshow type player. But believe me, he became much more than that. We all know that. And also, you know, his work ethic is something you have to applaud. I mean, he tried every year to become stronger, and he did. He tried to always be inventive defensively, and I think Quinn Snyder helped him develop that, along with several other coaches as well, and Vince LaGarza and Alex Jensen. And you have to applaud those guys for making the player that he is today. But, yeah, he has a lot to give. Look, he's 30. So reaching that peak, bigs usually have that 28 to 32, 33-year range, and then all of a sudden, you know, bigs most of the time begin to break down in this league because of the wear and tear. But, no, it's Minnesota got good, very good. They released a couple of players that I'm not sure if they stay with the Jazz or not. Kessler, as Scotty said, is an interesting former number one pick. Not sure where he fits, but there's a lot of pieces here. And the four first rounders, that one is the shocker of the whole trade.
No, that's unprecedented.
I mean, it's like, what did Herschel Walker go for? Remember that deal years ago?
It was the Vikings as Minnesota, so same thing.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable. So the value, I hope Jazz fans realize, three-time, could have been a four-timer, and he may have another one or two in his resume coming before it's all said and done. But in the work with the Cat, Karl-Anthony Towns, lets him allow to stretch him out even more and allow him to be a dynamic threat from outside inside. So Minnesota making a bold move, and the Jazz making one as well to give up one of the finest defenders in the league over the last near 10 years, in my opinion. I see it, from my chair on a given night. And his recovery time, by the way, I thought, Hans and Scotty, we always talked about his ability to protect a three-point line, then roll back and get to the rim. Man, that was a special gift, by the way, and the speed and the agility that he was able to develop during his time with the Jazz. But obviously, this is a new era, and we're living it right here on July 1st, 2022.
It's got to feel weird for you, Bowler, in terms of turning a chapter on Jazz. I mean, you were here for John and Carl when that chapter turned. Darren and Boozer, I mean, people forget how close they were to really, if not for the Lakers, who knows how good that team could have been in that era. And then that chapter got closed. With Quinn gone and now Rudy being traded, it feels like we're turning the page on a chapter of Jazz history here.
Oh, we are. Larry's passing, it was a huge chapter. And then, of course, the Miller selling the franchise to Ryan and his family. What I've learned in this business is nothing ever stays the same. And you know what? You pick and you have moments in time, and this is another one right here. And I think Jazz fans will realize this is another moment in time. And I think the July 1st date will even echo, March 11th is burned in my head for 2020 in Oklahoma City. This one's going to be sizzled in my brain for a long time. July 1, 2022, where you send off your three-time defensive player to Minnesota. But the haul, the take-back, is just the one that I think will always stay with me. As very few players ever, the return is a four first-round picks with the other players, including Patrick Beverley, in this haul as well for the Jazz. So, Carl and John, Boozer and D. Will. I've talked to both those guys. Both said, sometimes they wish they hadn't left. And you know what? Some Jazz fans would agree. They had a great pick-and-roll combination, and sometimes they think things are better on the other side. But in reality, the Jazz still have, good things happening. I'm excited to, get to know Will Hardy at 34. I got a few years on him, by the way, Hans. I think I do. I shaved today. I'm not sure if he did. I'm kidding. Will, I'm kidding, man. But you know, I got to know him a little bit. He coached two summer leagues for the San Antonio Spurs. So, you know, at that time, he was, you know, one of the youngest assistants around. And then he had the 1 year in Boston. So, you know what? Danny Ainge came here for a purpose, to evaluate and to make this team championship caliber. Now, how does he use those other first-round picks? You know, it's going to be interesting to see if he doesn't use those, right, one or two, to go out and basically tempt a team to make a move with the Jazz and bring another quality player or two in the corral to circle around, I'm guessing, Donovan Mitchell. If both go, I'd be stunned. But Danny Ainge made bold moves when he went to Boston, and I think it was Paul Pierce that was traded. And was it Kevin Garnett? Yeah, Kate. Yeah, it was. So they made big deals, and you know, he's not afraid to do that. And we knew that when he was hired by Ryan.
I want to reset this because Adrian Wojnarowski made it pretty clear in one of the tweets that he sent out as he was announcing the accumulation now of picks between Royce O'Neal and Rudy Gobert. At the end of the tweet, and it kind of goes unnoticed, but I think that it carries a lot of weight, and it leads right into what you were just talking about. It says very specifically, and the Jazz plan to retool the roster around all-star guard Donovan Mitchell. So I want to clear that up for Jazz fans, because I think we're all sitting here kind of out of breath thinking, when does the bleeding start? When does the bleeding stop? And what does this mean for Donovan Mitchell? And Bowler, according to Adrian's tweet, it means that the Jazz are going to rebuild around Donovan Mitchell. Do you still feel like that tweet is pretty factual?
I think Adrian is let's just say, tuned in to most of the general managers and agents in the NBA. Why does he and Shams always break the news before anybody else knows? Because they're tied in. And who those people are, I don't know. I know they're not me. I'd like to know more. But I think, again, he's pretty well tuned in on what direction the Jazz want to do and what how they're going. You know, this kind of, again, with the report today, it kind of ends that tenure with Donovan, ends the tenure with Donovan and Rudy. And you know what? You knew something wasn't right a couple of years ago. So now you just kind of know that the direction the Jazz want to go, I think, with the people and the trades available and whatever Danny Ainge and Justin Zanuck decide to do next, you know, you want defenders, you want wing players, and you want a more mobile, offensive-minded center as well. Even though Rudy led the league in field goal percentage because of his rim play, but it's a new Will Hardy's going to take over a team that's going to play defense, but also I get a feeling that each player will be an offensive threat, but also will be responsible defensively for their man. The days of channeling everyone to Rudy Gobert in Utah comes to an end. And he did a hell of a job, by the way.
Great story. Good person. Dedicated. Can't ask for much more than that. Rudy Gobert, no longer a member of the Utah Jazz. Let that sink in, folks. Bowler, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And we'll do it again. Hey, look. It's been a crazy week. Why not make it a little crazier, for goodness sakes? College football is
topsy-turvy, and now you got the Jazz and the rest of the NBA. But I think just the impact for the state of Utah today and the love affair that really was very deep, I think, for Rudy. I congratulate him on 9 years of greatness here, and I even applaud him even more for just the work ethic. But you know what? Things change, and that's one thing, as I said earlier, you learn early in this business. And you know what? I think he's going to be fine in Minnesota. The Jazz, though, are going to be fine. Where they go from here, everyone is standing very excited to see what the next moves will be, because this is definitely retooled. In my opinion, is it going to be a rebuild? I don't. My gut doesn't tell me that because of Donovan Mitchell, right?
Yeah,
I think there's a. I know you got to go, but I still think with Donovan and Hans, what you just said about rebuilding around him, I think Donovan obviously is in the know of what the plan would be. And I think they understand the window as well for Donovan before the contract runs out. And I think, again, the rebuild would only occur down the road if necessary. I think Danny has much higher aspirations for this franchise with Donovan Mitchell, not even at the height of his career yet, and to move quickly with him. I think that's the plan. We're going to find out together.
Buller, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks for taking minutes, Buller.
You got it.
Thank you. Have a great weekend. Take care.
That is Craig Buller, Jack, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Take another break. And tell you what, David Locke's going to join us next. Don't go anywhere. We will continue to break this down. Rudy Gobert traded from the Utah Jazz. We'll list all the assets the Jazz are getting back. Get David Locke's reaction in just a few minutes from right now, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Rudy Gobert, we join your teammates in applauding this the third time in the last 4 years for you.
Rejected by Gobert.
It's a sneaky MVP kick.
Blocked from Gobert behind. Run, Rudy, run!
It's the end of an era for Utah Jazz basketball. For nearly a decade, Rudy Gobert has been the best defensive player in the NBA.
I'm trying to do everything I can to win, and that's the bottom line.
On his way to three NBA Defensive Player of the Year awards, as well as a member of four All-NBA teams and three All-Star games, as the Jazz move on from Rudy and rebuild their roster for the upcoming season. Keep it locked on The Zone for the latest on the most dramatic offseason in Jazz history. Your exclusive home for Utah Jazz basketball is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
The KSL Sports Zone. Rudy Gobert, no longer a member of the Utah Jazz, traded today to the Minnesota Timberwolves. I thought all the YouTubers said he was going to Chicago. Oh, whatever. All right, let's go through the, in case you're just joining us, and I see the streaming numbers. Thanks to everyone who's dialed us up and listening right now. Let's go through the acquisition here for the Utah Jazz, in which the Jazz were able to pick up Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Walker Kessler, who was the 22nd overall pick in just this past NBA draft, Jared Vanderbilt, and also you go through the list, and it also has four first-round picks, 2023, 2025, 2027. All three of those are unprotected, and then a top-five protected 2029 first-round pick. It's pretty unprecedented stuff. Paul George trade might rival it, but David Locke joining us, play-by-play voice of the Utah Jazz. And David, this is a this was quite a haul the Jazz were able to pick up for Rudy Gobert.
So I just talked to someone in the NBA, and they said, holy beef, you got the James Harden package, and you don't have James Harden.
you said that you talked to somebody in the league. Was it a front office guy or what?
I can't say that. Sorry, I'm on Bluetooth headphones because I have like 2% battery. But if they don't sound clear, let me know. I'll switch over and like say attached like the old 1970s. Okay, it was just somebody in the league. You know, I talked to somebody else in the league who said the league's going big. Minnesota's brilliant. They thought the league was heading big, and that people haven't realized it yet. That's their trend. I'm not sure I agree with that. I think the league's going big playmakers, but I don't think the league's really going big. I'm sure you're going to ask me my quick take. I'm kind of broken, right? Like, I love Rudy, yeah. And watching him develop was incredible, and I still believe Rudy's one of the top 10 most impactful regular season players in the NBA. And I think, you know, there's no question the last two playoffs, the teams that are making playoffs he has less impact than he has in the regular season. But, you know, I just think he's wonderful. Like, I think he's just one of the great people I've been with. I think he's, you know, I was fortunate enough to actually have real conversations with him. I think his will and quest to win is amazing. And I think I think you win 50 games the minute Rudy Gobert's on your team. And my takeaway is that has been an uphill battle as a broadcaster and a Utah guy. I've taken a lot of internet crap over the years on a personal note for how kind of much I believe in Rudy and how good I think Rudy is. Well, Tim Connelly evidently agrees.
Yeah.
Yep.
The GM of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Like, that's a little bit of my take here is, like, to some extent, the debate is now over on whether people in the league think Rudy Gobert is good or not. Because Tim Connelly just gave up 5 first-round draft picks for Rudy Gobert. 5.
Yeah.
Yep.
22nd this year.
Right?
Yep.
Yep.
Right. Walker Kessler was one of the more interesting draft prospects. I think he blocked. Go pull this up. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I only got this because of Locked On NBA Big Board. But I think Walker Kessler blocked about 4.5 shots a game in 22 minutes.
Yeah, I think it was like around 4.7.
Yeah, in how many minutes?
Hold on a second. I'm just pulling up.
By the way, 7'1", 250 pounds out of Auburn. For those of you that don't know a lot about Walker Kessler, as David just mentioned, first-round pick, number 22 overall, and just played.
By the way, number one in college basketball, his block percentage was at 19.1.
He blocked 19%? What?
Yeah, 19.1. According to KenPom, his block percentage was 19.1.
Okay, do a little Google searching. I have not had time to do this yet because Walker Kessler's not a big part of the deal. I'm not about to tell you Walker Kessler's Rudy Gobert. Can't move like that. He's not mobile like that. Rudy's one of the great specimens of the game.
There's only one.
Don't
Rudy.
Misunderstand.
Yeah.
Right. And Walker Kessler's probably a backup center. You know, but they said the same thing about Robert Williams, by the way. But he's turned out to be way better than a backup center drafted by Danny Ainge. But I would also say, and frankly, Walker, you know, we don't know whether the Jazz liked Walker Kessler or not. Walker Kessler was the piece of this puzzle, unless we find out that Walker Kessler was drafted by Minnesota knowing they were going to do this trade, then I would have thought it would have gone down by now. Anyway, Walker Kessler's a nice piece. Like, my point is that's another draft pick. That's 5. And then if for some reason we're good, it's 6. So the Jazz got 5 first-round draft picks for Rudy Gobert. And if somehow the Jazz turn this into and actually are good by 2026, they likely get a 6. And the wildest thing to me about this is I'm just trying to, I made as many phone calls as I could and rushed off watching my daughter playing golf, is that no one's sure whether this is going to work, what Minnesota's doing.
Yeah.
Like, now, Minnesota's worst-case scenario, I would say, is still probably pretty good. Like, their worst-case scenario is that Kat and Rudy don't work together. Rudy hates Kat. Kat hates Rudy. Could legitimately happen. And that they have to trade one of the two, probably at that point Kat. And then they get a bunch of players for Kat, and they're still pretty good. And they have Rudy, and as I said earlier, I believe Rudy wins you 50 games automatically. So I don't, you know, I suspect that these will be 5 draft picks that are all 15 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe,
lottery.
Right, yeah, so maybe you're not getting a game-changing player, but you got some big swings at the possibility of getting game-changing players. And then, you know, depending on what we either do with our roster, maybe our job is to, maybe we're going to end up trying to get the game-changing player our own with some of our own picks. So we don't have, you know, it's not beneficial to us to, we don't have our own 2025 pick. So if people are wondering if we're tanking, it would be a pretty risky move to tank the 2024 season without your top 2025 pick. Now, I don't know the protections. I don't know the protections on the pick that we sent to Oklahoma City for Derek Favors. So that might tell you if we're gonna rebuild this thing entirely, how much you have to rebuild it.
Well, David, that was my next question that I'd put together here for you. So with what they've now gathered with the Royce O'Neal move to get the basically Philadelphia's pick from the Brooklyn Nets,
right,
and then what they just put together for Rudy and all these picks, got all these assets, what is the likelihood that they use any of them, or what's the likelihood that they package these and leverage them for another piece to put by Donovan Mitchell?
In the near future or long future?
I'm talking about near future.
Long future. That's an interesting question. I hadn't totally thought of that.
Because I feel like I look at all these picks, and my mind goes to they might use one of them, but every other one of these is an asset. Because Donovan's not going to sit there and be like, oh, what's that? Oh, me, Malik Beasley, and Patrick Beverley? Let's go. Like, Donovan, you've got to – if your goal is to build around Donovan, you better get him happy right now. And you better put some things around him that make him happy. And these picks, to me, are a way to that.
Or maybe we should just run our franchise the best we possibly can to run our franchise for what's best for us.
Or that, yes.
And what would that mean? Like, what would that entail to you, David?
This move right here is you get off like on the rules that nobody's untouchable. You get offered 5 first round draft picks for just about any player in the NBA. You probably have to move. I mean, the really crazy one is, did Danny Ainge just like set the market for Donovan Mitchell as 5 first round draft picks?
See, that was going to be my next question because, you know, I think that whether it's this year or whatever, there's this general unease that perhaps there might come a moment where Donovan Mitchell requests a trade. And if so, you've got a 3-time All-Star, 4-time All-NBA, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. He's got a big resume. And Donovan Mitchell, also a perennial All-Star player. I think Danny Ainge may have just said, look, if you want, this is what we got for this guy. If you want this guy, then you better be prepared to pony up.
All right, let me ask a question. I'm with you. Like, yeah, maybe 100%. Let's take the other angle. So right now, if the season starts tomorrow, we're starting Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Malik Beasley, Bojan Bogdanovic, and question mark, right?
Yep.
Walker Kessler doesn't seem like the answer. Our bench right now is Jared Butler. Well, Jared Vanderbilt played center at times last year, so maybe we're starting Jared Vanderbilt and we're just really small and active.
Did you mention Beverly?
So our bench is Patrick Beverly.
Jordan.
Jordan Clarkson. Walker Kessler, and we've got some gaps on whether we have backup wings right now.
What are you doing, Vanderbilt?
That team, Vanderbilt's good. Like, he can't shoot, but he's a very good defensive player. He's a great athlete. Like, he'll be the best athlete we have on the team.
He's long.
We want positional size. I think I like Jared Vanderbilt as a player. In fact, he was kind of a steal by Minnesota on the backside of that Juancho Hernan Gomez Malik Beasley trade. When they got him, I mean, he's 6'9", 214. He had all sorts of feet problems when he was in Denver and never stayed healthy. So he's almost only played for 2 years in the NBA. He is not a good 3-point shooter, right? So he is really a non-shooter. We didn't guard him. We like would just leave him wide open. And he doesn't have, like, you always look at free throw shooting and say, like, oh, he's a good free throw shooter. He should become, eh. So he's a non-shooting athletic 4-5. You know, that's hard. Like, he can switch. He's probably 1-5 switchable. So he has his role. He's not good like in that he's going to be an All-Star inning. He's a decent rebounder. His defensive rebounding rate was 25% last year. That's good. So, I mean, maybe you're starting his – maybe he's your starting center right now.
Yeah. Are you
– And Malik – I mean, that's an interesting angle too, right? You just got – and I don't – you know, no one's as good as Rudy, and we're not going to win as many games without Rudy. I'm a Rudy believer, but like, and maybe it's because our roster's thin, but you just got 2 starters and 5 first round draft picks. I mean, Donovan's always wanted a wide open floor so he can go to work. So he's got it to some extent, because but Vanderbilt won't be guarded, so guys can still hover off Vanderbilt. You know how they play pick and roll, and so you have to just go to work. Yeah, I mean, it's just a very, you know, I don't know that, like, you know, like when we traded Darren, I remember I came on the air, got in all sorts of trouble for it, and said we're going to be awful, but that's okay. I don't know if you remember that.
I remember that.
Trust me, I'll never forget. And I'm not sure that right now, like, I don't think we're as good for the next year, but there's some aspects of this team that's, like, it still has an all-star, it still has Mike Conley, it still has Bojan Bogdanovic. It might not in 24 hours or 48 hours.
Yeah.
But as of it sits right now, like, Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt are, like, I generally think are pretty good rotation players in the NBA. They're not Rudy, like, don't misunderstand, but, like, we didn't just get five first-round draft picks and, like, then no one who can play. Like, Jared Vanderbilt played, what, 24 minutes in game? Like, 25 minutes in game last year? Mm-hmm. That's not bad.
Do you have a book on Balmaro at all?
Yeah, I don't. All right, so let's. I didn't like him at all, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong.
Vanderbilt was at 25 minutes
a
game.
I don't want to, like, I can sell you. I'll sell you on. I mean, he's super young. If I have it correctly, he's South American. South American, came in the league, shot like 19% last year, and just looked like a total fish out of water. I mean, kind of like, whoa, you drafted him. What was he, like the 19th pick of the draft or something like that? 23rd pick of the draft in 2020?
Yep.
Like, that was my reaction. I was like, oh, like, so now, again, though, Vanderbilt's what, 23 years, 22, 23, and Balmaro's 21? I mean, in a sense, if Balmaro was drafted in 2011, we just would, in 2021, so you'd have a 2021 pick, a 2022, a 2023, a 2025, 2027, right? Like, we can keep just going. I mean, Balmaro might be a bigger piece of this puzzle than I'm giving him credit for. In his first year in the league, my memory was when we saw him, he was 6'6", 200. He started, I think, one of the games against us. I don't think he started many all season long. I'm really pulling this out of the top of my head. But he just couldn't shoot at all. So now, is that just that the game got caught on him? I mean, somebody thought he was good. He was the 22nd pick of the 23rd pick of the draft.
David, with all this being said, it's funny because the memories of Rudy Gobert keep flooding back into my mind. You know, the things that he went through COVID and reaching out and touching the mics, to what he went through when he was crying because he didn't get the All-Star nomination, to getting the All-Star nominations and still being emotional and all the heat he took for that, and really the weight he put on his shoulders and the way he continued to fight to be great. We can talk about all these players we want. We can talk about these picks, but the Jazz are losing a legend, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I think he should have his number retired. I mean, I think he's one of the great players that ever played in our organization. And I'm really perplexed right now on what to do, because on this show, I don't know the things Rudy Gobert has done off the court. You know, hey, for example, he's the one who gave the money to all the arena workers, right?
Yep. Yep.
There is this, like, I have a story on Rudy that's so heartfelt and so unbelievable and so amazing. And I feel like, and he's asked it, like, I'm not going to tell it, because he's literally like, no one knows it on purpose. And I'm going to honor him for that. But, like, I'll just say this. Like, internally inside the Jazz, there's just been various things that have gone on. There's been some tragedies. There's been some people that have passed. There's been some tough things. Like, this is the guy who writes $100,000 checks for people to make their lives better as a thank you for what people have done for him. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Life, you're in a moment of need. Life-changing, just heartfelt goodness. And it's not, I mean, the amount of money is staggering. And he makes a lot. But it's also like, he's not going to be posting on the internet all the, how sad he is, all these things. He's just going to go take care of it. And no one's ever going to know. Like, he's just amazing. I mean, he's just, you know, the other story is like him with kids. He's just like the greatest person with children. All right, Scotty, I just texted you one note there. You'll just relay to the fans how amazing what I just texted you without telling the story.
Oh my gosh, I had not heard that.
Like, this dude's unbelievable.
Well, I can also
that story right there is like I apologize, everyone. This is kind of a weird thing to do, but I'm really perplexed because I want people to know. Like, out the door, I feel like I almost want to tell all the stories I have about Rudy's commitment to the community and all the things he did and Rudy's kids, but also just like, he's asked, like, that's not what he wants. So I'm going to honor that because I just respect Rudy so much. But I want people to know so badly what an unbelievably caring, heartfelt, good person we had in the community and on this team for these years, and how fortunate we were to have him as a person, and how awesome it was to watch him play.
Well, I'll tell you this much. I do know, and you know who I'm talking about. There's a family that I know that had some daughters that they're going to feel like they lost their second dad on this trade.
They did. I often think a lot of what you know about people is based on like how they treat kids, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when you are good with little tiny kids, you're giving of yourself because there's actually really nothing, like, right? Like, you're taking their enjoyment. Because really, they're not that, like, right? They're little. Like, they're not, like, holding inspiring conversations. That's Rudy. Like, Rudy's unbelievable in that setting. So, he's just really a wonderful guy. Watching him play was amazing. From a transactional standpoint, I don't think that the Jazz could have said no to that deal.
David, last thing.
Let me say one more thing on this. Sorry. I mean, obviously, we're just going all over.
No, you're all good.
This deal is significant enough that while it definitely was rumored and thought of and talked about that the Jazz might trade Rudy Gobert but I don't know from this deal whether they had actually decided to do that or not. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if they had traded Rudy for, like, Kevin Huerter, John Collins, and a first-round pick, I'd be like, okay, they just decided they're trading Rudy. But when you trade Rudy for 5 first-round draft picks and 2 rotation players, maybe someone put an offer on your table that was so good, you're like, crap, we have to trade Rudy.
No, that's a good point. David, I wanted to throw this at you really quick. We're about to learn how much Rudy did do to clean up defensively for the Jazz front court, and it's going to be interesting to see how Donovan Mitchell adjusts to having Rudy off the court. Does that put more pressure on Donovan to become a better defender without Rudy behind him, knowing he's got the best defender maybe in the history of the league behind him?
I mean, the fact that we allowed like 75 points to the Detroit Pistons
that's what I'm talking about.
Last year, and they're the worst offensive team in arguably the history of the NBA.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's not a great sign of success without Rudy.
Yep.
Well, on that note, David.
Now, it was an entire defensive system built on Rudy.
Right.
And Rudy wasn't available.
Correct.
Yeah.
So Will Hardy now builds an entire defensive system that does not involve Rudy Gobert. I'm pretty curious, by the way. Like, I don't, we'll see. Really, for a team that has absolutely missed on some draft picks and therefore not developed or traded draft picks, missed or traded good ones, we've just got a lot of young talent really fast, by the way.
Yep.
Like, I don't know if Balmero's going to be good, but he's 21. Kessler's 21. Vanderbilt's 22. And by the way, I think you could move Malik Beasley at a trade deadline and probably get another first-round pick.
Yeah, he's only got a team option coming up after this upcoming season.
Beverly's an expiring contract.
Yeah. You know, Vanderbilt's only got 1 year after this. I mean, you look down the list. I mean, this was financially, in terms of long-term future and contracts, this was a good move for sure.
So we'll see what's next and how it all plays out. Transactionally, I think, like, I love this, you know. All right, like, you know what this reminds me of? Scotty, it's a crazy story. But we got a knock on our door this year during the real estate rush in Park City. And the realtor said, like, how much to sell your house? Yeah. And I started trying to do the math of what I wanted to do. And the first number I came up with, which was stupid, I suddenly realized they might take it. And I was like, oh, I don't want them to take it. I don't actually want to move.
I don't want to make that decision. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, okay, well, that mathematically worked, but in real life, it doesn't work. And in retrospect, that might have been really stupid because the amount of money I was going to make on that was a lot. But so I just upped it, honestly, like another fairly substantial nugget. And I actually kind of feel like that's what this is right here. Like, because if they had come back and said yes at that point, I'd been like, damn, we built this house. I love this house. Perfect location. Everything about it's perfect. But guess what, honey? We're moving. Like, right? Like, there's a moment where the offer is significant enough that you're moving. And I'd have to say, 5 first round draft picks, the possibility of a 6 and like some other pieces is probably that moment.
Yeah. Yep. Well, David, we've got to cut you loose, man.
Great stuff, David. Thank you.
You're the best.
I was not very coherent today, was I?
No, you were great.
You're good. I think we're all a little bit scattered over the last few days, and it's just nice to hear your perspective on it.
The Big Ten Pac-12 move is still a bigger story. Holy smokes. Big,
yeah, man. No, there's no doubt about that.
Stanford might be going a different direction. Well, that's a topic for another day, David.
All right. When do I get to come on your show and interview you about all the things I want to know about that?
I would love to do it. Let's do it next week.
All right. Sounds good, guys. See you.
There you go. That's David Locke. Jazz no longer have Rudy Gobert on the roster. Oof. Wrap your brain around that, folks. We'll wrap things up. Get you ready for Unrivaled next, 97.5, the EKSL Sports Zone.
Rudy Gobert, we join your teammates in applauding this the third time in the last 4 years for you.
Rejected by Gobert.
It's a sneaky MVP pick.
Blocked from Gobert behind. Run, Rudy, run!
It's the end of an era for Utah Jazz basketball. For nearly a decade, Rudy Gobert has been the best defensive player in the NBA, on his way to 3 NBA Defensive Player of the Year awards, as well as a member of 4 All-NBA teams and 3 All-Star games. As the Jazz move on from Rudy,
it's an end of an era. It's an end of an absolute superstar. And
rebuild their roster for the upcoming season.
4 first-round picks. Pretty unprecedented.
Keep it locked on The Zone for the latest on the most dramatic offseason in Jazz history. Your exclusive home for Utah Jazz basketball is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Rudy Gobert, no longer a member of the Utah Jazz. Let's reset the scene here before we wrap things up and hand over to Unrivaled. You and I are going to hang out with those guys for the first segment of the show and just kind of give this a proper transition into their show. But my goodness, what a day. And Hans, you and I talked about before the show started, it's going to break during the show. We knew it.
Knew it was coming. And
took a little longer than I thought, but...
And it came down heavy, Utah Jazz losing Rudy Gobert, but essentially, Scotty, putting together an unprecedented amount of first-round picks and names in a package for Rudy.
It's not just the picks. It's the protection behind the picks. Minnesota gives up 4 first-round picks, including the 2023, 2025, and 2027. All 3 of those unprotected. And then a top 5 protected pick in 2029. That's it. They also have the option to swap picks in 2026, first-round picks. So in 2026, if the Jazz are good and Minnesota isn't as good, then the Jazz can swap picks in 2026 and pick up Minnesota's first-round picks. So 2026, you want to be cheering against Minnesota. The Jazz also pick up a group of players, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, Walker Kessler, Jared Vanderbilt. And so you've got some, you know, look, Patrick Beverley, Pat Bev on his way to Utah. That'll be an interesting fit.
He just sent a tweet. He said, always business. Wolves, thanks. Time to take another team to the playoffs.
What have we always said about Patrick Beverley? He's a guy that you hate to go up against, but you love him when he's on your team.
Yeah. You definitely love his grit and determination, and he is going to give you some wing presence. That's for sure. Some backcourt defense that you haven't had, that scramble tenacity that we haven't seen a lot of. But this is still shocking for Jazz fans, and I feel bad because I think that Jazz fans over the years have become so close with Rudy Gobert, not personally, but just so close with his personality, you know, his ability to show motion, his willingness to be involved with the community, his financial commitment to the community, to friends and to family. You know, I remember when the COVID thing went down, I think it was like a $50 bill or something that he handed to every worker in the Vivint Arena. He's done so many great things, man. So many great things. And I have a ton of respect for a player that carries a chip on his shoulder, continues to work, and becomes the best at his position. And Rudy did that. Yep. So,
all right. Coming up next, we'll chop it up a little bit with Unrivaled. Scott Mitchell and Alex Carey get their perspective on this thing. They're going to have Tim Lacombe join the program a little bit later on, and then update you on some reports out of Phoenix, our sister station down there, Arizona Sports, with some interesting thoughts on what could else be brewing. The Jazz aren't done, folks. They're not. There's other stuff coming. So gather around the radio. We'll continue to break it down. Big thanks to everyone listening on 97.5, 1280 AM, as well as online at the Zone app or at kslsports.com. Remember, you can stream us wherever you're at. And just looking at the numbers right now, you all are. So big thanks to all of you listening online and on the air, your exclusive home of Utah Jazz basketball, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.